This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Today's episode is a very special episode, as it is a very special day. Indeed, today is the 100th birthday of Gloria Day, the first magician to ever perform in Las Vegas. She was born on August 25th in 1922, and today here, August 25th, 2022, is a perfect time to celebrate her achievements. And I want to also thank Lance Rich, who was the one who had brought this to my attention, and perhaps to the attention of many magicians, during the 2021 Collective Expo, when we found out about her background and what she had done in pioneering magic in Las Vegas as being the first magician when she performed at El Rancho back in 1941. Also, he had authored the article about her in the MUM magazine of December 2021, if you want to go back and read more about her accomplishments and everything. Very interesting article, and I highly recommend you go back and listen to read that then as well. I especially want to thank Anna Rose Einerson for helping to set up this chat with Gloria Day, because she has been friends with her for quite some time, and I was able to go to her facility where she is living now to get a chance to speak with her, and she was the most delightful and enchanting young lady. I'm referring to Gloria Day now, who is was able to talk with us during this episode. I also, you'll notice partway in that Anna Rose was getting involved with the conversation as well and asking her some questions. So thank you, Anna Rose, for, again, setting this up, and also for helping move along the conversation and engaging Gloria in some delightful questions and directions that I perhaps would not have gone. Anyhow, it is a lot of fun in this conversation. But before we get into that, I want to welcome the newest of our friends of the Magic Word, Mr. George Reese. Thank you very much, George, for your pledge on Patreon and making an annual pledge. That was wonderful. I also want to thank Terry Greenwood, who has been a longtime friend of the Magic Word, who had given us a one-time additional donation via PayPal. And this is another thing that we get from time to time, where we have patrons who will continue to support us with the occasional and irregular donations, and it's great whenever and however they come, whether you're using Patreon or PayPal. So thank you all very much for your financial sponsorship in order to help keep this podcast going. And for those of you who would like more information how you could become a friend of the Magic Word, and perhaps through different levels, you will get varying kinds of perks through patreon.com. Just go and check it out. It's on the website over there. Anyhow, you know what to do. Thank you guys very much. That helps us a lot. Well, this week we are going to, again, celebrate the birthday of Gloria Day, and also some of the accomplishments that she had in her life. I was unaware of her movie career, and I'm embarrassed that I didn't know more about that as we kind of get into it, and you will hear that as we kind of get into this conversation. And we talk more about the specifics on the back end of this podcast, in which we go into her Internet Movie Database profile, or IMDb profile, so this way that you can hear some about the movies and films that she's been in, that is some of the series like King of the Congo and some other things. But she has had quite a varied and important career in film. As I understand it, she has attended some of these conferences of film fandom, if you will, where she is really a rock star. And so, again, I'm fortunate to have spent some time with her here, and I want to share this with you so this way that you can also wish her a happy 100th birthday. And if you wish to do that, you can post your comments at themagicwordpodcast.com in the comment section in the blog below. You can see the place where you can put that in, and I'll make sure that it gets to her. So, again, if you want to wish her a happy birthday, please do. So let's get moving along as we greet our guest this week, the birthday girl, Gloria Day, here on The Magic Word. We are in Las Vegas, Nevada here with a legend in our industry. This is someone who
many of you may not know or have heard about, but is someone who I actually was just made aware of about a year ago. Lance Rich gave an excellent presentation about this lovely lady, the Magic Collectors Expo in Las Vegas. Since then, everyone's starting to find out who she is. I don't know why she's been one of the greatest kept secrets in magic for so long, but she is someone that I want you to know because I am just having the most delightful time here getting to know her myself. Please welcome Ms. Gloria Day. Hi, Gloria.
Greetings, everybody, especially you. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you very much for taking some time and having a chance to chat with us here today. This is just really great. Now, for those who don't know you, let me just explain, and the reason they should is because obviously magic goes back a long way in Las Vegas. And as Lance was doing all this research and trying to find out who the first magician was who was performing, the colloquial belief is that it was Jack Codell. But it wasn't. It was actually you who you were performing at El Rancho. Isn't that right?
El Rancho Vegas, the original one that burned down.
Okay. And that would have been, what, 1940, 41?
Right around there, yeah.
Okay. And you were probably about 17 at the time. You're 99 now. You said your birthday is coming up?
Yes.
On August 25th. So yeah,
you bet. I'm going to have a nice big birthday party.
That'll be so much fun for the 100th.
And, of course, you're invited.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. So were you about 17 or how old were you at the time when you were performing there? Do you remember?
No, I was born in 22, so if this was 40 or 41.
Yep, would have been about 18 or so, 18, 19, mm-hmm. Right. And at that time, when you came out here, I assume you came from Los Angeles, is
correct.
That right? Now, back then, I don't suppose they had the Chavez course of magic where you were learning anything like that with candles and canes and cards and things like that.
I have no idea who that is, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Tarbell was the one that I have, complete course of Tarbell.
Right.
My dad got it, yeah.
Now, back then, of course, it was a mail order course. Is that right?
I presume.
Or was it a book? Did you get the books or did you receive it in the mail? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was my father that got it.
Uh-huh.
So I just know we have the complete one now.
And so was he the one who taught you or?
Yes.
Okay. So was he a magician?
After hours, after his work, he used to do magic on the side. The Great Leo.
Okay. And now, of course, this was long before the Magic Castle.
Oh, yes.
Or anything. So I assume there were clubs back then, nightclubs in Los Angeles?
Yeah, that was back in the days when they had shows and dining and dancing in the same club.
And when he was doing that, did he bring you along with him to assist or maybe to help pick up his stuff? And
no, when he taught me, then we used to do shows together.
Mm-hmm.
We went, it was in San Rafael that we did it together. And after a remark from the audience, I'm not tooting a horn or anything. Uh-huh. This is just the fact. I'm sorry. My mother was in the audience, and my dad and I, it was in San Rafael, California. We did this show, and my mother overheard guys in the audience saying the kid's better than the father.
Hmm.
So that was the last time he ever did magic publicly and devoted all his time and efforts to new routines and things for me.
Well, that's funny. I'm sure they would much rather watch an attractive young lady rather than this other old guy.
I was pretty young. As a matter of fact, I was a professional at age 5.
At age 5?
Yeah.
Wow. Working those clubs.
I would work in a theater, and my mother would have to be with me in the wings.
I understand. I mean, they didn't have, like, birthday parties and things like magicians do nowadays. You were doing proper magic on stage.
Yes.
Wow. Now, were you doing Dove productions at the time?
Pardon?
Were you producing doves and that kind of thing, or what kind of magic did you?
Well, I did that, but I never was much of an illusionist. I mostly sleight of hand.
Mm-hmm. Were you inspired by, like, Del O'Dell, or were there?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I didn't even know her. I know of her, of course. My dad's what did it all.
And so he was the one who was teaching you what to do.
Exactly.
And did you in later life start to meet some of these other people like Nell O'Dell or others?
I never met her, but yes.
Okay.
David Copperfield recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a gal by the name, last name is Boyd.
Yeah, Connie Boyd.
Mm-hmm. Connie Boyd, yeah.
Right.
And is it Jan Kramer?
Yes, Jan Kramer.
Westgate.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, we're friends.
Mm-hmm. Nice, very nice.
Yeah.
Now, back then, again, in the 40s when you were starting to do that, of course, this was just...
That was 18. I was 18 then, or 17.
And, okay, 18 years old. Did your dad drive out here with you to Las Vegas?
No. My mother did once or twice, and then I was alone.
Okay, she said, okay, I'm going back. You can stay here.
No. I drove. No,
oh.
I drove round trip always.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
There were only two. When I first came here, there were only two casinos on the strip. It was the Last Frontier, which had the Silver Slipper attached to it, and the original El Rancho Vegas. And they just started to build across the street the Flamingo.
Okay. And that's what became actually the Las Vegas Strip, or would that become part of downtown in the Fremont area?
No, the Strip.
The Strip then. Okay. Gotcha. Now, around that time, when I mentioned earlier about Jack Codell, did you know him?
No.
Okay. Because I had heard that he had done his Dove Productions and everything here as well. So I just didn't know if you had met him, felt like it was a competition or...
No, I would love to meet him, though.
Yeah, right. So at that time, as I recall, that was, of course, pre-war years, pre-1941.
Yes.
So, well, and really that was before the mob had kind of taken over. It was a completely different era than like before and after, I mean, where we are right now and where you were back then. What must that have been like in a Dust Bowl?
It was fantastic. At midnight, they had a midnight buffet for a dollar.
Okay. It's hard to beat. I mean, that says it all then right now. How many shows a day did you do?
Either two or three. When I did three, it was too much to do the magic and different shows and so on. So I decided to dance. So I did the hula between.
Oh, okay,
so
in between.
The second show was easy.
Okay. Mainly you were doing coins, like T. Nelson Downs types of things, or what kind of magic was it?
Mostly like billiard balls. That was my favorite.
Uh-huh.
And some cards.
Okay, card manipulation. I mean, it wasn't like...
No,
okay.
not producing the cards or whatever, no. Just a trick with the cards.
Okay. Did you talk to the audience or did you have music playing most of the time?
Well, it was either music background or I would talk.
Oh, you did talk back then?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, man, that had to be so different because it was around that time... They were starting to segregate, and there were a lot of blacks who were coming in, as I understand, and working like in the magnesium business there. And so for a woman then also to have come in, and you really weren't taking a man's job. You were doing something that no one else had done before or whatever. But
well,
I'm
sure there were other women magicians before me. I don't know who or what, but I'm sure there was.
Not in Las Vegas.
No, not in Las Vegas.
I'm sure there were perhaps in Los Angeles. So what drove you, aside from a car, but what got you to Las Vegas and why did you want to come here? As I said, you had Los Angeles kind of in the palm of your hand and you were working since you were five. It's like, I'm going to leave that and go out in the desert. What made you think that?
Well, my parents and I used to drive out here once or twice a year.
Oh.
Because they liked the gambling. My dad liked Keno.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did.
Okay. And so you saw there were other entertainers, I guess, who were singing and dancing, and you thought magic could fit?
When I was at the El Rancho Vegas, Rudy Valley was at the Last Frontier. Do you remember
that? I do remember Rudy Valli. I mean, not personally, obviously, but I know the name, yes. He was a big singer back then.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And he used a megaphone.
Megaphone, yes, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he was... Now, there was another one that was built shortly thereafter. Was that the El Cortez?
The what?
Another casino, the El Cortez. It was built around 41 or something. Does that ring a bell?
Well, that was downtown.
Okay, yeah.
The Flamingo was started... The El Rancho Vegas and the Last Frontier with the Silver Slippers part of it were the only two, and the Flamingo started to build then.
Okay. So there was there really wasn't anything between downtown and the Strip.
Grace Hayes Lodge, I never went there.
Okay.
That was way before you got into Vegas. It was the first one you would hit.
Right. But... Again, going back to being, I just think it's so amazing, being the first woman and being and performing, of what that must have been like back then, because men were accepted in certain positions that you as a woman must have had. Tell me some story. Surely you must have had some stories.
different ones, yeah. But like what, prejudice? No.
Well, not necessarily prejudice. I mean, it's just I'm sure we're whistling and whatever. I mean, but as far as them thinking, well, she can't be much, but wow, she is good. And then you kind of, how you may have changed the perception of the audience, of them seeing you.
That, not to brag, but that's true.
Okay. That's kind of what I gathered. Otherwise, you wouldn't be coming back week after week because the casino boss would say, we don't need her again.
Right.
Was there any problem or issue when you came to talk with them about getting that job? I mean,
no.
No, okay. Because it would just seem to me, again, at that time, in that era.
It was just different. So.
It was different. And that was why I mentioned about the segregation and the blacks and everything that had come into town. And they had their own area, I guess. And there were other...
They did, the Moulin Rouge down there. I wasn't aware at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I never was prejudiced. Mm-hmm. I was brought up with some of the black kids.
Sure.
Who did nothing ever, you know, that never bothered me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I hope I didn't bother them.
But I have heard about certain areas and blocks, like they had, like...
Block 16.
Block 16, yeah, where the prostitutions were. So, they had segregated areas for different people in different parts of town like that.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't aware of it. Nobody ever said anything, or I was not aware of it at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, did you come in and out of town then on the weekends to do the show, or did you stay there throughout the week?
No, I stayed.
Okay. So once you came out...
Because it was all week long.
It was all week long. Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know if it was a week...
So, not just weekends. No.
Okay. Because I had heard also then after World War II began, they were wondering whether Las Vegas was going to survive, I guess. What was that like at the time? Was that kind of scary?
Not really, because I never thought it was going to come over here. And but we had gas rationing then.
Yeah.
And when I would work here, they would give me extra stamps.
Oh, so you can get back and forth to work.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, from Los Angeles to here, Burbank.
Gotcha. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't be able to get back and forth. Yeah.
That's right. I wouldn't be able to come here at all.
Right. And then beyond that, of course, food stamps and rations and people building Victory Gardens and things like that.
Well, I never had any of those.
Okay, you didn't? Were you? Did you stay at the hotel then at El Rancho, or did they put you up?
El Rancho.
They put you up then, so there. So you really didn't have an apartment or a house that you had to worry about?
One time, yeah. The first time, there were four of us girls. One sang, one danced, I did magic, and then I forgot what the other was. And we did one little thing together where we rode these little wooden horses.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did together to introduce the show.
Oh.
And then each one did their thing. And we stayed at Sheriff Don Cox's house.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
He had a basement that that performers stayed at.
So all of you young ladies, the four of you stayed down there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And then did you have one car? You kind of were driving back and forth, or did everybody have their own vehicles?
No.
To get to the sheriff's house?
I really forgot how.
Okay.
I really did.
No, it's all right.
That's weird. I'm getting old, huh? I'm only 99.
Only 99. That's right. Did you work actually in the round, or was it a stage?
No, the stage.
It was a stage.
Main stage, yeah.
So did people pay admission to come to see the shows?
Yes, and have dinner.
Okay.
Or drinks, yes.
Was that part of the $1 buffet thing that they got? That was separate from that.
No, the $1 buffet was only at midnight, and it was at the Hacienda Hotel.
Hmm. Okay. Okay.
At that time, it was way out, you know, the Hacienda.
And the other ladies who work with you didn't do any magic, I assume. They were singers and dancers?
Yeah.
Okay. Did your father continue to do some magic back in Los Angeles after you moved to Las Vegas?
No, not after my mama heard that comment in the audience.
That was the end of his magic.
For him, yeah.
That's too bad.
But I was fortunate because he devoted all of his time to me.
Yes. Now, brothers, sisters, anybody else that perhaps?
No, spoiled brat, loved every second of it.
I see, yeah.
I'm still spoiled, and I still love every second of it. Look at my sweetie.
Yes.
Come sit down, come sit down. One second.
Sure.
How are you being, Anna Rose?
I'm glad that you got in. How was she getting?
It's about 12:20.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you know each other?
Yes. I orchestrated him to come in.
Yep.
Oh, how wonderful.
She was going to put this together. Surprise.
Oh, how wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're such a sweetheart. And you know that.
Yeah, I liked it. I'll listen for a bit, so I'm excited to hear.
Good, good.
You cold in here?
A little bit.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yes.
So, Gloria, I was back to talking about, first of all, I guess, brothers and sisters. You said you did or did not have?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Spoiled brat, loved every second of it. I'm still spoiled and I still love it. I appreciate it, too.
Yeah. So the magic you were doing then at El Rancho, they had basically just opened probably not 6 months before you came in?
I really don't
know. It's a fairly new casino and hotel, I would imagine. And you stayed there for how long?
I don't know, a couple of weeks, I think. That's about all.
Oh, I thought you were there for like a couple of years or something.
Oh, no.
Okay.
It was just another gig.
Okay. And then from there, did you do magic someplace else?
In California and in Mexico.
Okay. What parts of Mexico?
Calexico and also in Maui, Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Now, when you said you did not only some billiard ball manipulation, of course, to be silent, but the card tricks you were doing was a talking act. Do you speak a little bit of Spanish? So when you were down in Mexico, did you change up your act?
No, I wish I could talk Spanish, but I can't.
Okay, so you change up your act a little bit in order to accommodate the nightclubs down there?
Mm-mm.
So you just you spoke English then as well? Okay. Now, again, back then, most everybody had agents, and I'm assuming that you did, or did you not?
I didn't have a steady agent, no.
Okay.
Just different people would be an agent for that show.
So someone had seen you perform somewhere and said, hey, I think you'd be good over here, and they sent you someplace.
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. This one agent had an opening in Las Vegas. That was it. He expected something in return, and I told him no.
That's interesting.
I said, there are plenty of other girls that will, and that's it. Either hire me for my talent or don't.
Right, right.
So we almost didn't. But
well,
he did.
Well, I'm glad you did.
So am I, really.
That was there. And so when you said that you came then and stayed then at the Ranchero for a while, then you also stayed at the sheriff's basement for a while then too, but only for a total of 2 weeks for all of that period?
Wait a minute. What did you say about Carol?
No, no, no. I was saying you were staying at the Ranchero.
El Rancho.
El Ranchero.
El Rancho.
El Rancho, pardon me.
El Rancho Vegas, it was called.
El Rancho Vegas.
And since then, they've tried to copy it and called it El Rancho, but they couldn't call it El Rancho Vegas.
Gotcha. Okay.
But they closed pretty quickly.
And then you say it also, you say at the sheriff's. So I'm just asking, I guess, that was only during a two-week period for all of that?
The first 2 weeks.
Okay. And then after that, you did
then,
what?
Then I came up alone. I drove up here from LA alone.
Oh, okay. And then how much longer did you perform then?
Just a couple of weeks, too.
Okay.
That's all.
Again, 7 days a week?
Oh, yeah.
And how many shows a night?
Three.
Three shows a night. And it was a 12-minute act, or how long of an act?
Yeah, it could go up to 20 minutes, depending on what they needed.
Mm-hmm. And were there other acts who were performing with you?
Singers.
Okay. I mean, you mentioned those other three young ladies who were on the horses, that the wooden horse things.
Oh, that, the first time. That was four of us girls. Her last name was Morgan. And I remember she lived on Morgan Hill Drive. That was named after her uncle or somebody. And I don't really remember.
Okay. But after they left, then you stayed. And then there were other singers and dancers who...
No. I went back to L.A., Burbank.
Okay. And then never came back.
Oh, well, later on, I came back the second time.
When you came back the second time,
a couple weeks,
and you performed for a couple more weeks, right? But then went to Mexico and other places. You were saying,
I didn't go to. I didn't play in Mexico until much later.
Okay.
Before Hawaii was a state.
Okay, sure. I understand. That must have been a little bit different time back then, too.
You bet your booties.
What was that like?
On Maui, it was this Oriental couple owned this nightclub.
Uh-huh.
And I stayed at their place.
Okay.
And this is an aside. I hate bugs and moths or anything, you know.
Who does?
Or spiders. So. Two things. They had, I went to their bathroom and I saw this spider. And I went, ah! And she said, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. She picks it up. She said, we call them brooch spiders. She puts it on herself here. Because they look like a brooch, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one thing. And the other thing, there was some on stage I was performing, and they always use the flit gun beforehand on the stage so I wouldn't have any bugs.
Oh, yes. Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And I guess they didn't use it that night. There came this Miller moth, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And whatever else was there. And I threw my hands up on the stage and I ran off until I got rid of it.
Wow. Was this like at an outdoor?
No, it was indoor.
It was indoor. Okay. Wow, but they still had a lot of bugs inside. And back then, as you say, it wasn't a state, but that was a destination for vacationers, I assume.
Yes.
And was it mainly from people from America, or were there a lot of Asians, or a good mix of people?
I'm sure there was a good mix.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't recall. I didn't pay any attention.
And you were there for how long and why?
A couple of weeks.
Same thing there, okay. Yeah. Sounds like that you're 2 weeks here, 2 weeks on.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes 1 week.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes a weekend.
Okay. And with the same act, essentially, with the billiard balls and cards?
Yeah. Always the billiard balls. That was my favorite.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know you did cards with billiard balls.
I didn't do fans and that. I just did a trick that included cards.
I see.
card the spider, or they could card the orange, you know.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's it.
And the billiard balls, did you do color-changing billiard balls or just manipulating?
Plain. They were red.
Oh, all red balls, okay.
And then somebody told me, one of the magicians said you could see white better, so I had it painted white. And so I used them a couple of times, and then I put them in the footlocker mm-hmm. with the magic stuff. So when I went in the footlocker to get it, they were all powdered.
Oh. Now, did you use a different size billiard ball? Do you have small hands? Or
yeah.
Okay.
But
I mean, they would look large in your hands, but I mean, they weren't the size that a man would use necessarily.
Yeah, but not the full size.
That's what I mean, right.
Just a fraction smaller.
Right.
So I could fit them.
Did you order those from Tannen's, or where did you get your equipment?
Different places, Fleming and not Taylor. Can't think of their name now. Can't think of their name.
Owens?
Hmm?
Owens, maybe? Owens, no?
Like Taylor.
Okay. Okay. And I assume you had like a nightclub stand or a table also?
A what?
A table.
Oh, like sure.
A nightclub table that you could put your things on your stand and whatnot and pull things back from behind there.
Yeah, no, I have regular table, you know, like this with black velvet with the gold ribbons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you learn, when there were some other magicians working, did you ever work like at a magic convention or anything?
And yes. In 1936, we had, you know, public shows, mm-hmm. and I worked that, and it was next to closing, whatever. And this is just a fact, that's all.
Yeah.
I don't say it as bragging, but they told me that I saved the first half of the show.
I'm sure you did, yeah.
I don't know.
And so did you start to associate with some other magicians after that then? And did you have, I mean, who were some of your magic friends and buddies?
Pacific Coast Association of Magicians.
Yep, PCAM. Mm-hmm.
And the SAM. Mm-hmm. But I didn't belong to the SAM. I was an honorary member of the PCAM, Pacific Coast American Magicians, because I was a girl.
Yeah. Speaking of which, there used to be a group called the Magic Gals. Were you a part of that by chance?
A what?
The Magic Gals?
No.
Okay. I believe that Irene or Jerry Larson, I believe, was involved with that.
Yeah, I know Jerry Larson with her. Boom. That's all she did.
Oh, that's right. She was like the princess or something of the castle
just
or
went
something.
Like this, and then she'd have the little thing she'd throw on the ground. That's all she did.
Oh, okay.
Nothing else.
I never saw her act. I just.
You didn't miss anything.
Okay. Well, there you go. There you
Not
go.
Like Jan, you know, over at the Westgate. She's excellent.
Oh, Jan Kramer?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
One wonderful lady.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to go see her show?
Oh, yeah.
Been several times.
And I brought other people to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been here for a while and doing very well. Yes.
Is she in there again?
Well, I was, let's see, the last
I hope so.
Time was September, I think, when I saw that she was there.
She's wonderful.
I've not been back since. So
She's tremendous.
One of your favorites, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it because that she does sleight of hand as well as, I mean...
She does everything well.
Mm-hmm.
Everything she does well.
So as you were traveling and doing these a couple of weeks, you know, here and there, it just so happened that Las Vegas was just kind of a place on the itinerary, if you will, on your calendar. So it wasn't something that you were thinking you were... trailblazer at the time, being who you were.
Yeah, I did. But
oh, did
I was too young and dumb to know what to do.
Oh.
They had, at the time, they were homesteading 5 acres for $20.
Hmm.
You pick out where you want. And I knew where I wanted.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to go about it to get it.
Oh, okay.
So I did. That was at the corner of Tropicana, Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah, I think that's worth a little bit more than $20 now.
I'm afraid so. For 5 acres.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that would have been some prime property.
It certainly would have.
And so did you come back to Vegas after that period of time? I mean, obviously, you bought a place. You lived here for a number of years. How long have you been in Vegas now?
1985.
Okay. Well, what brought you here in 85?
We had earthquakes in San Fernando Valley, in California. It was an awful earthquake. And we wanted to get out of there. So we looked at Santa Barbara. And he blew his stack when he saw. I loved all the old buildings and this and that. Romantic this and that, and he threw a tantrum. It was before we were married. I walked out on him, but then I came back again.
And so he moved, you were married and then moved out here with him in 85?
Yes.
Okay. And at that time, were you still doing magic at all? Or were you kind of like, that's in your past?
Mostly in the past, but I belong to organizations, and sometimes I would show in some magic. When I was president, I was president of ORT for 13 years.
President of what?
Of ORT.
What is that?
Well, it's an organization for rehabilitation through training, is what it originally stood for. And that is, we supply the schools in different countries and teach, you know, teachers.
Right.
That's it.
And so you were doing some magic with ORT at the time?
Yeah, I would.
Right. And then around that time, did you, let's see, it was around that time that Siegfried and Roy were really doing pretty well.
Oh, they were. But they were, I saw their show on the last day they were at the Stardust.
Okay, sure.
And then they moved on to, where was it?
Frontier? Or were they the Frontier first and then Stardust? Then they went to the Mirage?
No, it was a Stardust. I saw their last show there before they went to the Mirage.
Okay.
That was it.
Yeah, because they, I think, were at the MGM first.
Who?
Siegfried and Roy.
Not that I know of. I don't know.
And then I think the Frontier, then the Stardust, and then the Mirage.
I only knew of them from the Stardust.
Right. Did you get to know them personally?
And, no.
Okay.
Never met them.
I just wondered if being a magician yourself and,
no,
and so.
Never
okay.
met them.
So people really, until of late, the last year or so, haven't recognized you for the history-making person you are. I mean, being
they
a magician.
Are, they are, but
yeah.
Lately, yeah. I
yes.
don't know why, because it's look at 50 years later.
Overnight success, huh?
Yeah. I showed you the book, didn't I?
Yes, from the MUM
yeah,
that you were on
right.
the cover. What was the month, by the way, on
I
that?
I think it was way back in November.
Okay.
This last November, I think.
Okay. So, yeah, people get a chance.
I was surprised when I saw that.
That was just a great homage to you that Lance Rich, looks like, had written.
It was lovely.
So how did Lance find you to begin with? As I mentioned to begin with, this was something I had first heard about through...
I have no idea.
Okay. He was doing some research.
Somebody was on the phone with me, and he was giving a history of...
Yes.
I've forgotten who, what his name, Rich?
Yeah, Lance Rich.
Huh?
Lance
yeah.
Rich. So yeah. Lance was the one who had done the research, and when we were at the Magic Collectors Expo,
oh yeah,
downtown at the Orleans, that's when he had you on the phone, and he was talking about the what you had done and being the first magician, and then he said, "And she's here on the phone with us now." So that was pretty amazing.
It was lovely, very flattering.
Yes, I would imagine so. Starting to get some of the respect that you so richly deserve. It's just taken too long to
that's so sweet of you.
To
thank
get.
You.
Well,
I'm flattered.
You were a trend maker long before that was even a word.
I guess you're right.
And what I find is kind of amazing about that too, Gloria, is how that it was just another job. I mean, you had taken that for a couple weeks and and not looking at that necessarily as saying, hey, no one else has ever done this, but I'm trying to break new ground here. I mean, you really were not so involved, I assume, with women's rights back then in trying to break new ground for women. I mean, that was not your thing. You were just looking for work, I guess.
No, I would agree with them.
You're what?
I would agree with them, but but I never took an active part.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Planned Parenthood. I agree with them, but I wasn't active.
Right. Gotcha. I understand. So we weren't putting you out then either as being a representative for women's rights, saying, hey, look what she is doing and has done or whatever.
I have no idea what, yeah.
Sure, sure. You were just looking for work and just moving on with your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, just continuing, yeah.
Now, in between there, I mean, I would find it hard to believe from what you've been telling me that you've made a successful career doing that. Were there some other side jobs and things you were doing at the time?
Mm-mm.
It was all exclusively just that?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're working quite a bit. How many shows a year would you do then?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But I know that when in 1939... I quit high school. Like I said, I was getting transferred to New York to work, to dance in Earl Carroll's Revue.
Okay.
They had a cattle call of 1,000 women. And broke us down.
Had you been taking dance lessons also?
When I was a kid, I did tap dancing and stuff.
Okay. I wonder whether your mother was involved with that. I mean, was she?
Well, she's the one that enrolled me or.
Yeah.
She brought me wherever I was going for lessons or anything.
Sure, sure.
I had fantastic parents.
Well, it sounds like they were very supportive all along from the very beginning.
What? They were fantastic in every way.
Yeah. And I'm surprised also, I guess, when you were saying it wasn't until later life that you found your husband, because... I'm sure you're a beautiful woman now. How attractive you must have been when you were in your teens and on stage and people saying, hey, I'd like to buy that lady a drink.
No, I never did that.
But there were a lot of other acts, as you said, that were performing in and around Vegas at the time. But you didn't really associate, again, you hadn't met Jack O'Dell or any of those guys. And it wasn't until in later years.
No, one guy that was a magician, did mostly illusions, was at the... Frontier, I think.
Do you remember who that was?
Uh-uh.
Hmm. I don't know how far back Mr. Electric goes, but Marvin Roy, I know, was doing some things way back before Carol. I wonder if that might have been or someplace he was working. But yeah, the only other guy that I knew of around that time would have been Jack Codell, who was doing Doves and everything then, too. How many people did this theater seat? Do you remember? Was it, I mean, like 100 people?
It wasn't a theater.
Okay.
It was a restaurant.
Okay.
And it had a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you could sit at the tables and order drinks.
Gotcha. Okay, I understand. And so, but the showtime would start at certain times, obviously, for them to...
I don't remember when.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Wow. Well, what a career. I mean, what a beginning. And then continuing your career. When was the last time you were on stage?
I really haven't the slightest idea.
Okay.
I just remember the last day I worked in a movie, that's all.
In a movie? Wait. You were in a movie? What were you in?
Oh, yeah. I had the lead in King of the Congo. That was a Saturday matinee for kids.
Uh-huh.
And,
is that like a Tarzan kind of a movie, like jungle-themed thing?
Yeah.
That was back in Los Angeles, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Hollywood, yeah. And, yeah, trying to think of what... I think I told you, didn't I, the last day I worked in a movie?
No.
Well, it was 1962.
Wow.
And I had just had a brand new 62 Cadillac that I had ordered with a pink top and a blue bottom. Very feminine car.
Yeah.
And TVs were coming in about that time. And yeah. I had a 12-inch TV installed by the Cadillac company. It was two-door. Between the two seats, it fit perfectly.
Wait a minute. TV you had put yeah. into the car? Wow.
So when my mom and I would go in to drive into something, we'd sit uh-huh. in the back seat and watch TV. Everybody would come around, you know. Anyway, when I was chosen to do a spoof on Cleopatra.
Okay.
And there were, you know, we had a call with several girls. And I just had my TV installed. And I drove on the lot and parked it on a MGM or 20th Century. I've forgotten whether it was MGM or 20th Century lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was on a lot. And I was talking to some of the people on the set, you know, about it. And they came out to look at it, and it was gone. They stole it.
Somebody stole the TV? Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I said, that's it. So I went back to the...
dealership?
The guy that in the booth, you know.
Oh, the security booth there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I called, and I said, that's it. I'm not working in movies anymore.
That was your last day?
Right then. And they said, you have to, because you're... And I said, no, I don't have to, because you didn't get to me today, and there were plenty of other girls on the set that you could take.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I said, nope. I walked out, and that was it.
And that was the Cleopatra spoof thing you were working on at the time? So you didn't have a contract, necessarily, that they could hold you to?
No. They just chose...
whoever was handy there.
They call, and they choose it, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work, and that's it.
So aside...
You only get... Yeah, only if you're on a weekly, then you get a contract.
And then you would get different pay if you had a speaking part, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to work for C.B. DeMille.
Yeah, really?
A lot.
What was he like?
Oh, they thought he was horrible, and I thought he was tongue-in-cheek. I thought he was really funny.
See, I had heard the first thing. That I'd heard that he was... pretty hard to work with.
Yeah, but I don't think he was.
Not for your experience, huh?
Just depends on attitude.
What movie were you working on with him?
Ten Commandments.
You were in Ten Commandments?
Hmm? Mm-hmm.
Did you have a talking part?
Mm-mm.
What's that?
But I was on the weekly on it. Huh?
What's the Ten Commandments thing? What is that?
A movie.
With Charlton Heston. It's like the top 100 movies of the world ever.
Oh, I watched Dateline, and that's about it.
Obviously, you were in SAG and AFTRA and all the other groups.
Not AFTRA.
Not AFTRA. Okay.
No, but I was on the board that when we suggested, we decided to go with SAG instead of AFTRA.
I see. Okay. So what other movies, aside from, I mean, those are some...
Besides what?
Well, you said Ten Commandments and then the other...
Oh, that King of the Congo. That was
King of the Congo, right.
That was my lead with...
Who was starring in that? Who was the male star?
Oh, just slipped my mind. Huh?
Buster Crabbe.
Yes, it was.
Buster Crabbe?
He was an Olympic star.
I remember Buster Crabbe because he played Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he had the cereals on Sundays, or sorry, Saturday cereals.
So did I. That was King of the Congo.
Okay. Hmm. So that was a cereal also that ran for what, like 12 or 15 little shorts?
18 weeks, whatever it was, I don't know.
Right, right. Did they film those shorts all at the same time, or did they... week to week, they just would write to whatever was happening that week and what happened the week before?
Oh, no, not by the week, but a bunch together.
Okay, so it wasn't like a movie that they had the whole thing completed and they just released over the 18 weeks. They were still filming as they were releasing it.
Some of it, yeah.
Kind of like, I guess, a soap opera in a way on television kind of a thing. Huh.
Well, not really.
did you like being in film business better than...
Over the magic?
Than doing magic? Because you had a live audience there watching you do magic, as opposed to you're just doing it in front of a camera?
I don't know. I like them both, but different.
Okay, good answer. So in 62, you turned your back and said, I'm done with that. And
in movies.
And movies altogether.
It was the last day. I said, you can't, I told you, you can't because you're picked. But you didn't get to me and plenty of other girls.
And so that was kind of, again, as you mentioned about television was kind of starting. Did you do much, if any, television around that time?
I did. When there were only, I think, about 300 sets in Los Angeles area.
Uh-huh.
Very, very limited. Very. I did magic a couple of times. Once was on Hildegard and her magic violin.
Who's that?
That was her name.
She had a magic violin?
No, she just had a violin and it was...
magical?
Yeah.
What'd she do? I've never seen that.
No, she's not a magician.
Oh,
They just called it a magic violin.
Oh, I see.
Because she was so good at it.
Interesting.
And then back in the old days, they had what they called soundies.
What's that?
It was like the video songs today.
Oh, okay. Where you would
just short.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, the first movie I ever worked in was a soundie, and it was I did magic in that. Like the cop that was there, I stole his badge, and I did Cane to Silk and a couple of things like that, and that's all.
Was that something that you had written?
No.
They told you they wanted you to do that. Gotcha.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you, Gloria.
What?
So I have the video of you doing that.
You're kidding.
I do. When you would have been 20, I think, and I showed Bizarro. Do you remember Bizarro?
Yeah.
My friend?
Oh, yeah.
I showed him, and he said that he's never seen somebody do Cane to Silk like the way you did.
Really?
And he's wondering if, because then he showed me someone else, what was the guy's name, who was known for the candles. I'm like a magic nobody, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's not true. That is not true. You're too modest, and you're terrific.
The names and stuff. But he showed me the guy who did the Cane to Silk where you hold it out like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But you did it where you pushed it up.
Yeah.
And Bizarro said that it was interesting because he's like, oh, I'd love to ask her where she learned that technique or if that was the way people did it because he's never seen it like that.
My dad showed me.
Your dad showed you that?
Yeah.
And was that a way that he invented that way?
I have no idea. That's the only thing I ever knew.
Oh, got you. Really? Okay, yeah, because Bizarro.
Actually, twirl the cane and knock hit it down there and up it goes.
You remember? I have it on video.
Oh, you do?
I have it on video and YouTube, yes, so I don't lose it.
Could I see it sometime?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's
maybe.
Great. Cute.
Monsieur Wells would like to see it too.
I can put that on the blog.
Oh, then. Really?
Yeah, also.
Oh, that would be lovely. I'd be so flattered.
Yeah. All right. Well, wow, what a career, and this has been great. Thanks for your time. The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word Podcast, so I like to close by asking my guests what it is that your philosophy of life. I mean, you've had a long life and very happy and successful. What would you say is the thing that... it cheers you every day, something that's important in your philosophy.
Don't sweat it. Don't let anything negative bother you ever. It isn't worth it. You only hurt yourself.
Love it. Sounds great. Gloria, thank you so very much for your time.
My pleasure, and I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Gloria Day. This is Scotty out.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wow, what a fascinating lady that Gloria Day is. And I was so honored and thrilled to be in her presence of someone who is part of history. She is history, a living legend. And it's just wonderful to speak with her. And I apologize that I did not know as much about her movie career until we actually got into it, and I was surprised. I should have done perhaps some research going into it to have known a little bit more about that, because it's amazing. When you look at the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, it shows that she was in 14 different movies. The first one that most notably that we know about was Plan 9 from Outer Space, which is a cult science fiction film that she is credited for back in 1957. She did mention that she was in The Ten Commandments, that was directed by Cecil B. DeMille, but it was not one of her credits because she was just one of the many of the hundreds, if not thousands, of people who were in the audience or there out on the desert when they were filming all that. But other things that she had been in are very notable, like Around the World in 80 Days, when she actually was uncredited for that, and that was in 1956. Also, she was in The Sea Chase in 1955, as well as The Prodigal in 1955, both important movies. But the one that, and also, by the way, she was in Singing in the Rain in 1952. She was uncredited as a chorus girl in that, as well as An American in Paris in 1951, in which she was, again, uncredited for that. And as well as I'll Remember April in 1945, uncredited as a telephone operator. And, of course, we don't want to forget her starring appearance, in which she was the leading lady opposite of Buster Crabbe in 1952 in the series King of the Congo. Anyhow, I'm just kind of reading a few things here on her IMDb page that are pretty fascinating. So I again want to thank Gloria for opening up her home and letting us go in and chat with her for a while. And I also want to thank Anna Rose, who you heard come in partway into the conversation. And she also offered some interesting observations then as well and asked some good questions. So I thank you, Anna Rose, for helping, number one, to set this up, but also for helping to keep the conversation going, because you have known her so much better and much longer. I was just meeting her for the first time. And so it's wonderful that today we are celebrating her 100th birthday, because she was born on August 25th in 1922. So here we are in August 25th of 2022. So here we are. So again, happy birthday to Gloria, and I hope you have many more years ahead of you. So you've given us so much. You are a living legend, and it's so great to have spent some time in your presence, and I'm glad that I can capture this bit of history on the podcast here with you today. Be sure to tune in next week when we will be at Fort Worth for the Texas Association of Magicians Convention, and we will continue our daily convention reports from Fort Worth and letting you know what's going on over there. I'm hoping that you're enjoying the convention reports as I've been traveling about the country and the world for that matter, including Canada for FISM. And if you haven't had a chance to go back and try to digest some of those reports, I feel like, again, I was trying to give you a drink of water from a fire hydrant, giving you one report after another, day after day. So if you have a chance to go back and listen to some of these reports, it's great because they're all in the archives and you can find them there at themagicwordpodcast.com. And if you have not yet subscribed to the pod letter, be sure to do that because we give you some suggestions from the archives. Like this week, for an example, we suggest a conversation we had back in 2016 with Lance Burton, who is another living legend in our magic world, who also worked in Las Vegas for a long number of years. So it's worth going back and hearing that one as well. And you can get that link in this week's pod letter when you subscribe to the Magic Word podcast. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember, don't let anything negative bother you, because you'll only be hurting yourself. Happy birthday, Gloria, and this is Scotty out.